It's likely the year 2020, and Indonesia is a nation reborn. For many residents, the country seems to have been paused in time for years. But the advent of the tech revolution has dramatically reshaped the landscape, especially in Jakarta.
QR codes are now ubiquitous, adorning even the most humble of street stalls selling sate ayam or nasi goreng. Amid the myriad of options for mobile payments, two distinctive, vibrant green QR codes stand out from the competition, those of Gojek and Grab.
By this time, Grab's valuation has skyrocketed to over 10 billion US dollars. The company has diversified far beyond its roots in transportation and delivery, venturing into e-commerce, groceries, financial services, and even insurance and loans. This super app strategy aims to make Grab an integral part of Indonesians' daily lives, a one-stop platform for a myriad of needs.
Meanwhile, at Gojek's headquarters, the atmosphere is tense, but not for the reasons you might expect. Yes, the leadership team was concerned about Grab's expansive super app strategy, but a more pressing issue looms large, casting a shadow over their boardroom discussions. Years earlier, Gojek had embarked on a similar path, aspiring to keep Indonesians glued to their app by offering an extensive range of services, including the ability to top up prepaid phone plans. Considering that 95% of the country relies on such plans, high engagement was anticipated.
But the reality was starkly different. And a survey conducted by the analytics team was about to reveal the reason.
We've learned that only about 30 to 40% knew of the feature.
Silence enveloped the boardroom. The realization dawning that if awareness was disastrously low, it was likely that those who used it would be even lower. It was a disaster and represented a potential unraveling of their super app vision. Throughout the rest of the meeting, the team likely learned of the dismally low awareness their users had for all the rest of their features, outside of ride-hailing.
As Kevin Alubi leaned back, a heavy realization weighed on him. Gojek's path to success demanded a bold, radical shift. Amidst the swirling chaos and whispers of a growing global pandemic, the stakes were higher than ever. In this moment of uncertainty, one thing was crystal clear. Survival meant reinventing the game. Perhaps they could enter e-commerce.
This decision would ignite the first of many clashes between Gojek and Tokopedia, as both giants vied not just for dominance in ride-hailing or e-commerce, but for the heart of Indonesia itself. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 5 of a 5-part series. Go far, go together.
Southeast Asian online food delivery, ride-hailing, financial services company Grab. It's growing very quickly, as you might anticipate. It's an enormous deal.
Company CEO Nadiem Makarim isn't concerned. He says SoftBank's investment in Uber doesn't actually matter.
On May 17, 2021, Gojek and Tokopedia unveiled their monumental decision to merge into GoTo. During the announcement, William Tanuwijaya encapsulated their vision perfectly.
If you want to go fast, you go alone. On our own, we go very fast as Gojek and Tokopedia. The next decade, we want to go far. And to go far, we go together.
uniting as GoTo promised to propel them to unprecedented distances.
But there's a critical piece of history to understand. The path to the Gojek-Tokopedia merger, culminating in GoTo, was anything but smooth. In the lead-up to this monumental merger, both companies faced fierce competition, not only from external rivals, but also between themselves. Rooted in the startup boom of the 2010s, driven by nearly boundless investment, startups from this period were often propelled by a grow-at-all-costs mentality. This approach, prioritizing rapid revenue and sales growth, sometimes at the expense of profits and customer satisfaction, frequently led to aggressive promotion and ventures into legal gray areas.
For Anthony Tan, co-founder of Grab, and Nadeem Makarim, the push to dominate Southeast Asia, where Indonesia accounts for roughly half the population, meant inevitable confrontation. But the aggressive pursuit of growth at all costs bred more than just external conflicts. It sowed the seeds for internal friction between Gojek and Tokopedia, as their investors pressed for a super app strategy, mirroring the success stories of China's tech titans, namely Tencent's WeChat and Alibaba's Alipay.
This push for diversification saw both companies venturing into similar territories: groceries, on-demand services, and crucially, fintech. With around 80% of Indonesia's population unbanked, the fintech arena emerged as a battleground of immense promise, attracting both as formidable contenders. Tensions between Gojek and Tokopedia reached such heights that merger discussions, initiated more than once, consistently ended in failure.
But by 2021, despite towering competitive pressures, the two giants found common ground. This breakthrough would lead them to forge the largest technology conglomerate in Indonesia. It's early 2017, and the past few years have been incredibly unkind to Gojek. On a particularly gloomy, rain-soaked morning, the unthinkable happened. Their app ceased to function. Frantic troubleshooting by the technical team revealed a chilling reality. It wasn't a glitch. The Ministry of Transportation had shut them down, declaring,
"Operations similar to Gojek, GoBox, GrabBike, GrabCar, BlueJet, LadyJet are all prohibited."
The immediate shutdown left tens of thousands of drivers adrift, their livelihoods evaporating overnight. For many Indonesians who were reliant on daily earnings, this was tantamount to a financial disaster. The resulting public outcry was immediate and powerful. The hashtag #SaveGojek soared to the top of Twitter's trending topics, a digital rallying cry for those whose lives had been upended.
Driven by a deep sense of responsibility to restore the driver's means of support, Nadeem Makarim transformed his home into a command center. Surrounded by his team, they worked the phones tirelessly, seeking solutions where none seemed to exist. But every call ended in frustration, either hitting a dead end or receiving hollow sympathies. Despite this, Nadeem and his team persisted against the odds. Miraculously, within 24 hours, the app was back online, resurrected by an intervention from President Joko Widodo himself.
But the app's shutdown and subsequent revival was only the beginning. As Gojek reclaimed its status as Indonesia's most downloaded app, it attracted unwelcome attention. Cyber threats multiplied, turning Gojek into a prime target for digital predators, marking the start of a new, relentless battle. An influx of drivers to the platform attracted hackers offering third-party applications. These ranged from seemingly benign bots that automatically accepted orders to more sinister software designed to steal drivers' details.
But the irony here is that some of these applications addressed gaps in Gojek service offerings, providing workarounds for the company's more onerous policies, such as penalties for medical leaves.
That's right. And Gojek responded, acknowledging both the benefits and risks of these third-party apps by embedding similar features directly into their platform. This move was designed to dissuade drivers and users from relying on external apps, highlighting a proactive step towards enhancing user experience.
However, this approach merely scratched the surface and indicated an even deeper issue at hand, a glaring gap in Gojek's cybersecurity measures. It was a clear signal that a more robust and overarching cybersecurity strategy was critically needed to safeguard against evolving digital threats.
The problem was, Nadim barely had the bandwidth to think about it. His focus was captured by a pivotal development. In May 2017, Gojek secured a monumental $1.2 billion investment from Tencent, catapulting its valuation to $3 billion.
And the parallel narrative unfolded in August 2017. When Tokopedia welcomed a $1 billion investment from Tencent rival Alibaba.
These investments set the stage for what seemed like an extension of China's tech rivalry onto Indonesian soil.
Rumors suggested that choosing between Alibaba and Tencent was a declaration of loyalty, hinting at an inevitable rift between Gojek and Tokopedia. It would appear that the falling out of Gojek and Tokopedia could happen sooner than expected.
In 2018, Gojek's influx of funding bore fruit, marking a year of strategic expansion. With the daring acquisition of three startups, Gojek unveiled GoPay, a division dedicated to embracing Indonesia's unbanked population. Originally, GoPay facilitated seamless transactions between users and Gojek drivers. But the acquisitions expanded its scope dramatically, enabling integrations with both B2C and B2B sectors. This bold move captured an impressive 30% of Indonesia's e-money transactions. Suddenly, GoPay wasn't just about rides. It enabled users to top up mobile phones, prep for prepaid plans, and manage utility payments with ease. Meanwhile, the Gojek app itself became a hub of lifestyle services. With the launch of GoLife, they offered everything from on-demand massages to house cleaning, meeting a wide array of consumer needs.
At Tokopedia's headquarters, strategic discussions were in full swing. The e-commerce behemoth was keenly aware of the fintech sector's potential, but seemed cautious about aligning too closely with Gojek's GoPay. Rumors had spread that Gojek's platform was a target for hackers, which for an industry like fintech was a source of concern. Amid these developments, the Lippo Group, one of Indonesia's legacy conglomerates, appeared to offer an alternative solution. They had launched OVO, a mobile wallet app that quickly gained traction and now rivaled Gojek's GoPay in popularity. What set OVO apart was its integration with Lippo's extensive retail network, offering cashless payment options across approximately 13,000 outlets. OVO had also secured a partnership with Grab, capturing a significant share of Indonesia's ride-hailing market. As discussions continued, the decision became increasingly clear. In October 2018, Tokopedia unveiled its alliance with OVO. Though some speculated the partnership was steered by mutual investors aiming to merge their stakes, the underlying tension between Gojek and Tokopedia was impossible to ignore.
By 2019, Tokopedia had broadened its horizons. The focus wasn't just on scaling the e-commerce platform, but on wielding a broader impact across Indonesia. This shift was reflected in their metrics. They moved from tracking gross merchandise value to gauging their contribution to the national GDP. This pivot prompted a fundamental question. How could Tokopedia embed itself into the daily lives of Indonesians, from cradle to grave? The answer first pointed towards deeper integration with government services. By mid-2019, Tokopedia, supported, of course, by OVO, had started handling payments for taxes, custom duties, and other state services, laying the groundwork for this comprehensive vision. And Tokopedia was about to expand even further. In June 2019, Tokopedia made waves with the acquisition of Bride Story and Parent Story. These platforms, catering to wedding and parenting needs, connected couples with a wide array of venues, organizers, and vendors, streamlining the planning process.
At first glance, Gojek's team might have dismissed this development, possibly even congratulating the team. However, a deeper look revealed a crucial insight. Bride Story and Parent Story operated on a digital on-demand model, seamlessly linking couples to wedding and parenting services. Suddenly, the Gojek team had a realization. Tokopedia was encroaching on the on-demand service space. Wasn't that Gojek's turf? In 2019, Nadeem Makarem, in a notable fireside chat, argued that in the realm of super apps, a duopoly was not just logical, but inevitable. The subtext was unmissable. Gojek and Tokopedia were set to increasingly encroach on each other's domains. While both companies seemed initially intent on a cautious approach, aiming to expand without provoking direct conflict, the arrival of 2020 brought a critical juncture, a pivotal event that would compel every tech entity to either innovate or face obsolescence. In fact, it would force every government to adapt, or countless would die.
The invisible killer. No one could see it.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
Better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will meet again.
On March 2, 2020, Indonesia faced its first confirmed COVID-19 case, signaling the start of an unprecedented challenge. In the months that followed, the country became one of Southeast Asia's most severely affected, with daily fatalities reaching up to 2,000. The pandemic forced everyone indoors, propelling both Gojek and Tokopedia into urgent action.
Gojek felt the impact keenly. Drivers saw their earnings plummet by two-thirds, prompting the company to make tough decisions. Quickly, Gojek had to make difficult calls. One after another, services like Go Massage and Go Clean were halted. The relentless spread of the pandemic ultimately led to the shuttering of the entire Go Life division.
And if that wasn't bad enough, surveys revealed another harrowing issue. Only 30 to 40% of Gojek users were aware of its many services. In their rush to expand features, they had overlooked the essential task of educating users about them. With ride demands dwindling and the pandemic showing no signs of abating, raising awareness was no longer viable. Consequently, Gojek had to lay off 9% of its workforce, affecting around 430 employees.
But the crisis also uncovered new opportunities. Previously, Gojek had launched GoMart, a grocery shopping service, which was eventually discontinued due to low uptake. However, as the pandemic restricted people's ability to shop traditionally, could GoMart resurface as a vital service? As the pandemic dragged on, it seemed that the inevitable had to happen to survive. They had to venture into a space Tokopedia protected fiercely. They had to enter e-commerce.
Back at Tokopedia's office, the team could barely sense the shift in their partnership. COVID-19 was a massive boom for e-commerce as micro, small, and medium entrepreneurs raced to get online fast. Tokopedia's accessible platform for sellers became an unparalleled advantage during this time. Within just a year, they witnessed a staggering influx of 2.2 million new sellers. E-commerce began dominating business transactions, with some brands experiencing a tenfold increase in activity. This period marked Tokopedia's golden opportunity. The company began collaborating with government bodies to expedite the approval of online business licenses, transitioning from merely listing businesses to approving new ones. This digital transformation streamlined the government's processes, allowing them to go from approving 5,000 registrations to 14,000 daily.
Amidst the pandemic, one trend became unmistakably clear: the surge in grocery sales, which tripled across the board. Tokopedia swiftly responded by partnering with major retailers like Hypermart and Lotemart to launch Tokomart, a dedicated grocery section offering over 200,000 fresh products. As groceries became a key part of their business growth, their teams probably wondered who else was seriously making inroads into the segment. The usual suspects emerged, like Lazada and Shopee. But now, there was Gojek.
It's now 2021, and the competitive landscape was fiercer than ever. Grab's valuation had soared to around $16 billion, as they diversified into a myriad of services, including food and grocery deliveries, parcel couriers, digital payments, and a range of financial services.
Meanwhile, Gojek was faced with an interesting revelation. The Indonesian market's response to its super app strategy starkly contrasted with China's. The array of different services within a single app confused Indonesian users. For instance, the launch of Go Massage, offering in-home masseur services, led to a surprising misconception. Many users expected the drivers themselves to provide the massages, not understanding the logistics of bringing a professional masseur to their homes. Consequently, the service struggled to gain traction.
This misunderstanding underscored a broader challenge. Users seem to prefer services directly related to Gojek's drivers, suggesting that for a super app to succeed in Indonesia, its offerings needed a clear connection to its core services. If Gojek wanted to go deeper into e-commerce, perhaps they might actually need an e-commerce platform.
And let's not forget Shopee, which emerged as the frontrunner in Indonesia's e-commerce sector, significantly benefiting from the pandemic. The platform's success was amplified by the explosive growth of its parent company, Cgroup, which also operates Garena, the developer behind the wildly popular game Free Fire. Cgroup's valuation catapulted close to $100 billion during this period.
Tokopedia, while closely trailing behind in market share, viewed Shopee's rise with concern. The realization dawned on Tokopedia's leadership that to compete effectively, they needed to innovate beyond traditional e-commerce, possibly expanding to smart warehousing to become the DHL of Indonesia.
But wait. In order to do that, wouldn't they need to have their own delivery fleet?
Get in line, hun. There are so many questions up in the air. What's the best move for Gojek and Tokopedia? Should they continue the rapid iteration and remain agile? Or should they look for a bolder, more strategic path forward?
My head is spinning just thinking about all those questions. But let's go back to the facts. The competition was intensifying, and neither Grab nor Shopee showed signs of retreat. It looked like they were here for the long haul, and this deepened the urgency for a strategic, long-term solution. It was in this moment that perhaps William Tanuwijaya, seated in his office, had an epiphany.
It's time we stop going fast. It's time we start going far.
On May 17, 2021, Gojek and Tokopedia made headlines with their announcement to merge into a single entity, GoTo. This strategic move, celebrated by onlookers, was poised to provide GoTo with a competitive advantage in the fiercely contested tech arena.
The journey since has been a roller coaster, navigating through workforce reductions amidst a wave of tech layoffs and steadily marching towards profitability by 2024. Among the transformative shifts, The most notable has been TikTok's acquisition of a 75% stake in Tokopedia. This strategic investment by TikTok isn't just a financial maneuver, but a significant play to secure a foothold in Indonesia's burgeoning e-commerce market.
This pivotal development positions Tokopedia to benefit from dual ownership under GoTo and TikTok, heralding a potential renaissance in e-commerce innovation. For the 270 million people in Indonesia, the future now hints at a seamlessly integrated digital ecosystem where content creation, commerce, and community engagement converge.
Welcome, congratulations, back on the disruptor list. Not only the biggest IPO in Indonesia ever, but one of the biggest in Asia. How have you grown, pivoted, and adjusted during the pandemic? Because you went from basically kind of a boring old ride-hailing company to the king of all apps in Indonesia.
You know, from day one, Gojek was actually, you know, not just a ride-hailing company. You know, we started with, you know, by looking at the motorcycle taxi driver as a human being who could do many things.
From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 5 of a 5-part series. Go far, go together. In our next series, we'll explore Vingroup, Vietnam's largest conglomerate, whose founder, Pham Nhat Vuong, is dubbed the Elon Musk of Vietnam. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.